And a very good morning to you. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can call 4341-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Michelle Braffett is taking care of all things technical. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock. We have breaks for the regional roundup at 5 to noon. We track the latest at noon. We have ICAB at 1. Of course, we have the latest at 12:30. Those are all part of this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Agenda is yours. I simply share what's on my mind as we go along. And hopefully, we'll have constructive conversation on this Wednesday edition. Good morning.
Mr. Johnson, how are you?
I'm all right, sir. And you?
Well, I don't know. Don't forget, we have now 17-month venue to meet at. Concerning, I didn't forget, 18, a month gone already was 18 months you told me to give you, so just letting you know that I'm on top of things.
That you're counting.
I'm counting. Right. So we got a 17-month now.
All right.
Now, Mr. Johnson, I got a lot of things on my plate this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were, you could always tell me whether I had a good time with you or a bad time, man.
Are we good to go? All right, buddy. Let's hear you.
Now, Mr. Ellis on Monday had Mr. Franklin on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern was when he said, either I mistake him or I want to be political, I don't know what. But it sounded to me like he started to cry or something when he said when he had $1 billion in VAT refunds that was given away to the business sector. Now, I can take it one way, or I can take it many ways. Either all the businesses in Barbados under both administrations let the people take the VAT that they kill us for to pay on our groceries, or our lumber, wherever it was. And then, instead of handing anything, they're not coming out of the businesses, it was money coming from the consumers. And instead of paying anything, they kept it. And it put me in mind of an old saying. The rich will get richer, and the poor will get poor. But on top of that, they were given $40 million in release funds. They don't want to pay back. But yet, these same businesses are now crying out for help and sending home people. My goodness, what part is justice and what part common sense will ever prevail, and what part honesty will ever prevail in this country, Mr. Johnson?
So I presume that, like... I presume that in all things, you will have those who manage their financial affairs well, and you'll have those who don't manage their financial affairs well. What will happen is those who have what I call leverage will be able to use that leverage to their benefit, whereas those who don't have leverage will go under or fall apart. Let's not forget that even the same government that we talk about sometimes does not manage its affairs prudently and ends up in trouble. And does what? Asks the population to get them out of the hole they've dug by paying more taxes. So there will always be management and there'll always be mismanagement, whether at the individual level, the corporate level, or governmental level. It's one of the things we have to work to correct as we go forward, because right now we're in a very deep hole and they got people who still dig it. And not digging to come out, just digging.
Now, I go a little further.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might know or you might not know, there's a company called Amazon that most poor people use. Because Dennis, I went on Amazon for a part. For part. Mm. The part here costs $250.
Mm.
That same part, which is strange enough, I can get for $17 along with other things for the part in case it breaks down. It sounds like a joke to you, or it sounds realistic?
It can happen.
Good. Now, Mr. Johnson, we are asked to hold strength. But yet, the Prime Minister of this country does not see it fit to say, well, saying that we are in this together, I am going to, with immediate effect, cut my ministers to 10 or 12. All I'm hearing is that they're working hard. But in the meantime, they want you to hold strength, be with them together. How we could be in this together and you still got all of these ministers?
What makes you think she's not going to change it?
But you must hear the rumor that I hear that.
No, there's no rumor that I hear. I'm asking you this question for this reason. I don't believe in rumors, sir. I work in an industry where I believe half of what I see and none of what I hear. And I know why I do that. Let me say why I make the comment I make. If I were a prime minister, if I were a politician who wants to hold on to the power that I have, if I'm asking people to go along with a plan that my government has developed, and if they seem to be going along with it, it is something called give a little, get a little. So if you agree to go along with my plan, I may agree to go along with a piece of your plan. That's called prudent politics. And as I get to the middle of my term in office, I have to start looking at how I will retain that. And by doing that, I may have to do certain things. That's how rumors rise, because people anticipate that politicians will be shrewd and think in that manner. So they start anticipating all sorts of things and writing all sorts of things so they could get people to get politically agitated. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I believe in simply sitting and waiting and watching. Okay. But I will say to you, as someone who has looked at politics play out in various ways, there are ways in which you make sure that the ground you're standing on is solid, and very quietly, when you know people get all agitated, you say, well, you know what? It was always my plan to do this, so here's the plan. Since you decide to do this, I decide to do that. And come out looking like champion. Well, it's called politics, sir.
Well, politics.
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 Don't slip your tongue around me. You can fall. You might trip on it.
Anyhow, the last thing is to give me such a good record. I tell you, I got a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
To be made public or publishing. Mm. How much consultants there are in the ministries? Because I never knew that the Blue Economy had a consultant too. So if that can happen, I will feel a lot better. Mr. Johnson, my brother, have a pleasant, a blessed, and a wonderful day and week.
Thank you very much, my friend. And stay safe. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
I would like to speak about the BOSS project or program or whatever it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Greenidge has said that the government has to shave $10 million per year off the wages bill. Now, I'm suggesting that if a certain exercise is undertaken, you will be shaving this $10 million off forever. Now, the first thing I would like to suggest is that the cabinet be reduced to 15 ministers. I don't know what savings that would be. And those persons in the public service who are close to retirement, you could offer them a package. There are certain posts in the public service that in this age of technology, I don't think you need a messenger and driver and all those type of persons. So I think you could make those posts redundant. Hello?
I'm listening to you. I thought you had more to say. I'm listening.
No, that is as much as
does it? Okay, two things. One, you did admit that you don't know how much shaving the cabinet to 15 would save. I was trying to see if I, using the old estimates that I have, if I could pull it up, but it's kind of difficult to pull it all at once. So there's several.
Also the cabinet, the minister is okay.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that part.
They could take a 10% cut. Because the last set they took a 10% cut and then they gave back themselves coming out to the election.
What they did with the cut when they took it?
I don't know.
this is the thing that amuses me when I hear people talk about you could do this and you could do that, right? It is one thing to say something, right? But if you have to follow what happens thereafter, you'll be surprised what does not happen. If I say I'm going to take a 10% cut, But what I'm going to do with the 10% cut is put it in an interest-bearing something somewhere where it could accumulate. So when I get it, I get everything back with a little padding in it. I really have not taken a cut at all because I have not cut the wages bill. Let me walk through something here with you that I was walking through with somebody to show them how cuts work and do not work, right? And I come back to where you're talking about the bill. Let's say I have 1,000 employees who each get $1,000 a month. If I pay them every month, I have a wages bill of $1 million because I pay 1,000 workers $1,000 every month. Under this boss plan, I use that as an example. If I say to my workers, you could either get $750 in cash and $200 in shares in my company, or you could keep getting your $1,000. The first, I don't know, 10 people say, I want all my money, I pay all of them. But you come across a Dennis Johnson and a Mohammed Nasser who are always talking about shares. So they say, give me $750, and they're millionaires anyhow. So they say, give me $750 in cash and give me $250 in shares, right? But every time an employee says, I want $1,000 in cash, I take a $250 share certificate and put it in my bottom drawer, right? Representing the $250 that they did not take. I put Nasser and Johnson and them fellows who want the $250 on top. At the end of the exercise, sir, I have 750 employees who took $1,000. So that's $750,000 I've paid out. I have 250 employees who took $750. That's $187,500. So my wages bill that was $1 million is now $937,500. I have saved $62,500 because I put that $250 cash in my pocket when Nasser and Johnson and them fellas didn't take it. But here's the thing. I now have 250 shares sitting down in my bottom drawer that I now sell at value and get $187,500. Plus the $62,000, I back the $250,000 I have, quote unquote, saved from my wages bill. That's how it works. Now, you could put whatever you care to put on it. You could call it whatever you care to call it. You could fancy it up and put interest on it. That is how it works. I have created a $250,000 buffer that I didn't have before. The problem is not what you say you're going to do. Is how it is executed. If you cut ministers down to a cabinet down to 15, as a matter of fact, I think there were maybe about 6 people who could go on the backbench and we wouldn't miss them. But that's just me. I'm not a politician. But I don't have a political party either. But if I say I'm going to shave my ministers down to 15, I have a cabinet of 15. But because of the 15, the workload, their experience, or whatever, I have to back them up with junior minister, consultant, assistant. What have I really saved? I think we've reached the stage. The former prime minister said the jockey too big for the horse, and I think he knew why he said that. I think we've reached the stage where we have to look seriously at our public service. We have to look at the statutory corporations. We have to decide what we could keep, what we could afford, and what we need to either get rid of or find some way of reestablishing the apparatus that we've set up to govern us. Because, yes, you said you don't need a messenger driver anymore. And I will add, we don't need a messenger driver who drives the wrong SUV either, because I don't know what you're doing with it. Why you have a double cab? Right? Air-conditioned double cab for somebody to take mail from point A to point B, unless you plan to carry desks and chairs and lumber in the back, or the company give you a double cab for free, which I don't. I asked Minister Strawn one day when he was here in the studio, not with the mic on because I was producing. I asked him if the government planned to have a serious look at the entire mechanical cars, SUVs for the government and determine what they need, what they don't need, what they get rid of. Their whole vehicle business, because you have to put gas in it, you have to maintain it. They got vehicles parked up by the Ministry of Health, all kind of old ambulance and things. Drive around and you see them. Tractors and various things. Just police got a whole set of vehicles, motorbikes and all kind of things. Are you going to do an inventory of them, like the transport board and the buses, and decide what you're going to do with it? Are you going to decide what type of car you need for a ministry, how many backup vehicles you need? Does the Ministry of Public Works need a certain type of vehicle that the Government Information Service does not need? That kind of thing. And come up with a plan. You tell me, yeah, at some point we plan to. But when? Because to me, that is something you have to finance on a regular basis. Now, somebody may tell me it ain't a lot, but if you're counting pennies, you're counting pennies. You see my point?
Uh-huh.
Right. So I don't take what you say as being something that can't be done. But in addition to just saying cut ministers' salaries or cut the size, you have to look at the whole apparatus and say, what do we need to reorganize? What do we need to get rid of? How do we reshape government, especially given the constraints we face now? Because if we continue not to have income from tourism, which is what was keeping us afloat, we in trouble. And I don't mean small trouble. I mean big trouble. Because we ain't got nothing coming in.
But
and we got loans to pay in foreign currency.
If there wasn't some glimmer that tourism is going to rebound, what do you think some person will be building a hotel?
Because they have money to invest in a plant that they hope will be able to either A, bring them a return on their investment, or B, they're going to be able to sell it. It's called planning for down the road. Tourism will rebound. I'm convinced that it will. People will travel. The question is when, in what numbers, and how do you entice them to come to you? Because that has always been the reason why certain franchises make more money than others, because they continue to market their properties to their particular clientele. Upmarket people will always travel. They ain't got nothing else to do with their money but relax and enjoy it. So they buy yachts, they buy private planes, they buy villas, they buy whole islands, and use it or don't use it as they see fit. It's an investment that they figure will pay off in the long run. So that's why they build it.
But if you are looking at tourism, we could get tourism to rebound by, as the Prime Minister said, getting the rapid results test. So why we don't get some of those and reopen the airport and then people come here because administer this test. And if anything, they could spend 14 days in isolation at some hotel. And then right. Spend the other 14 days.
Driving by the island. So right now, they got plenty of space in the hotel to spend 14
right.
days.
Right. So we can offer a COVID plan.
Well, we could, but the challenge is getting them to fly out of wherever they are, because there's some places that will not allow people to fly out. They are charters and they're private jets, and people can use them as they see fit. Once they don't frighten your population, yeah, we could do it. We could declare ourselves a COVID haven.
And
market it.
You just have to be innovative.
Well, in this market, my friend, I am telling you, you're gonna have to be. The other thing we're gonna have to be, is to give people value for their money above expectations. That is what will sell this destination more than anything else. If people say, I spent $1,500 to come to Barbados, and between you and me, I could have spent $15,000, we in good graisons. We in very good graisons. But we have to sharpen up on that. We have to make sure that when they come, they have a vacation that they never forget. I don't mean by shooting them. I mean by giving them a really good time. A really good time.
Okay, then, Dennis. Thank you.
Good to hear you, sir. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, sir. How are you? Boy, again, the tourism fellas, one after the other.
Yeah. No, David, let me first compliment you and put you at the top of the class.
Oh, Lord. For people to pelt at me again, man, you like to do this to me?
They've got the strength to get at you. A lot of people pelt rocks, but they can't get at the top with a pelt in that.
That's because they can't
pelt. Fall short. Now listen, Dennis. I can tell you why I put you on the top of the class. Mm. that all of these moderators that we have on DOB, you are the only moderator that have never yet accused a caller of having an agenda. You never did it. But we have seen those moderators who accuse callers from having an agenda that they are the ones who had an agenda. I finish on that. That's where you are at the top of the class. Could I carry on now?
Yes, sir. You could go ahead, sir.
Now, I want you to look at two words and a sentence. Truth and impression, and we are in this together. Now, I have some concern a little bit about this BOSS program. Number one, it don't affect me. But as a commentator, I decided to look at something that really come full stretch to me, hit me like a bright light. Now, you could remember when we had the problem with sewage, a tax was introduced on the country that everybody that had a water had to pay a portion of the sewage tax, right or wrong.
There was a sewage and a garbage contribution that was placed on your water bill. Barbados Water Authority was collecting it to be given to the relevant agencies.
And the idea was many had made late work. So who had sewage had to pay and who had sewage had to pay? The members or the people of this country paid the price and still pay the price. Now, what got me concerned about this program, though, the BOSS, it looked discriminatory to me in the sense that here it is that the civil servants have been offered bonds with a profit. And this BOSS program is to do something similar and even more about building roads, repairing schools, buildings, and such like.
That's not what it's for, sir.
That is what was said.
That's what they say they will use it for.
Exactly.
But it's not. But hold on. You're mixing up two things here. One, this BOSS program is designed to reduce the government's wages bill. That's what it's designed to do, full stop. That is what's confusing people when they're talking about why not extend it to the rest of the people, why you ain't pay contractors in bonds. My problem is I don't have the kind of big head that, you know, that other people seem to have. So I can't wrap my head around plenty of things. I'll take one step at a time. So hold on.
That is exactly where I am going.
I know that. And which is why I'm trying to steer you away from what you're saying. Because what you're saying will confuse the issue. This is designed to shave money off the wages bill. Now, what you do with the savings is another question. So let me go.
Right. So when you come and you tell me all of we in this together, mm-hmm. and you could only sit down and decide on the government workers, telling me that this program no longer, all of it together, is not working anymore.
Why not?
What I am saying, and let me build this one. Mm-hmm. If when you put on the sewage, everybody bears, mm-hmm. and you're telling me now that the civil servant would get a benefit, why would you discriminate and can't allow everybody to get a benefit? But because...
No, sir, again, you ain't listening again.
Wages, it's because you could reduce the wages. You cannot offer it to other people.
Sir, no, you're not listening. And I want you to listen for a minute,
let me listen,
please.
Yeah.
The government of Barbados wants to reduce its wages bill. The government of Barbados only pays civil servants and members in the statutory corporations. So it offered those people this Barbados OSS program, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister, Mr. Greenidge, whoever else have spoken, has said on more than one occasion, there will be another instrument offered to the rest. So it is not only public servants that are get offered a little thing with a little interest. The rest will get, but not on that issue, on a different type of instrument. that is going to be put on the public.
That is where I'm getting at. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Dennis, everybody tells you that to put the money in the bank, you're not going to get any interest.
Right.
Or not 0.5%.
0.05%. That's the 1%.
But what I am saying is everybody knows that how the bank get its interest because they lend money. That's their business.
More than that, though.
I want to find out. With these projects, suppose you assume you are building a road from Sandy Lane to Bridgetown at a cost of $20 million. Mm-hmm. You have already budgeted $10 million for the road. And eventually, you have what we call a overriding, or you got to come back for a supplementary, because the cost that went in did not really finish the road. Where would the government get this extra money from after budgeting for these? I mean, they spell out how many schools they're going to repair.
Take it out of the consolidated fund.
How many schools they're going to repair at what cost?
Yeah, take it out of the consolidated fund.
To the masses. But I would like to know, in case any of these projects have an overriding cost, where would the government get the money from?
From the consolidated fund, where they always get it from. That's where it's always get it from.
But they already tell you that they're financial difficulties.
Sir, and it will always... So that's the first government that been in financial difficulties?
No, I never said that.
Sir, okay, right. So they will go to the IADB, they will go to the CDB, they will say we need infrastructural work development, they will put a proposal, the various banks will look at it and say, well, you know what, you've improved this, you cut that, yeah, we can lend you, but here's the condition. A Colombian got to get a chance to tender, you can't give all the work to Bajans, you got to do this, you got to do that. And if we wanted that bad, we sign on the line. That's how this gets, sir. That's how governments operate.
Let me finish on this, because I like listening. Mm-hmm. Let me finish on this. What I have seen in this BOSS program, and this is my ordinary thinking, that with this BOSS program, and I would like it to work, because I could see where the elimination of a union can come about. Because as long as this program work, the government would not, the members of government would not have to come back to the government, the government for increasing salaries, because you will already have your money working for you, and every 2, 3, or 4 years you'll be having your interest on your monthly salary. So therefore, it wouldn't be no need for any union. And I would say this: if I had an option now to put my money in the BOSS program, or put money towards the union I have right now, I will put my money in the BOSS program and look for interest. And that's all you have to say, Dennis. Thank you, yeah.
Be good. I will stay in front and get pelt again. Thank you, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, please. I just want to speak about the monkeys. I have plenty monkeys next to my home. They have all of my shed top, the galvanite, breaking in. They're eating everything I plant. 2 beds of beans I plant, they eat them. All of my parsley, all of my shives, they dig up the cassava, they dig up the sweet potatoes. It is horrific around this place. The other morning, we was in here, my husband and I, and my daughter, and we heard this loud noise on the top of the house, because it always happened, night, morning, midday. And he said to me, that is thunder. I said, no, it is not. That is the monkeys. And he jumped. We really need help with these monkeys around here, because it is very serious. You cannot open your windows because they come in. We need help around here. We really need help.
Ma'am, it's a challenge that has, I think, been affecting households, people with gardens. They have moved into city areas. They have multiplied. There are those who say, plant the gullies and let them return to the gullies. There are those who say, shoot them. There are others who say, live and let live. It will all change. The question is, which path do you take, and who does the assistance that's required to get them under control? It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take planning, and more than anything else, I suppose it's going to take the cooperation of all parties, those who want them killed, those who don't want them killed, those who say set up a reserve again. The hunters say increase the payment you get for monkeys' tails and they'll get rid of them. It's going to be with us for a while, unfortunately, because they have multiplied and they are roaming wild.
That's right. But, you know, if we need to eat healthy and we are trying our best to plant little healthy things, then we are not getting anything. We're not getting any results. And that is hard.
Yep, I agree, ma'am.
Very hard.
Well, thank you very much. Hopefully, having raised it, it will be part of the plan going forward, talking to people like yourself, finding out what challenges you have, where you live, how the problem affects you, and see if they could come up with a way to deal with it. Because I think it's going to take a piece by piece, parish by parish, section by section, as opposed to saying the overall plan is, and then realize it can't work in urban areas, or it can't work in, you know, St. Philip, while it could work in St. Pierre, because the challenge may be different depending on where you are. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
Last time I spoke to you, I think it was a bank holiday, and we had a discussion about being open and honest with the public when I had drawn to your attention why we continue to borrow money and we don't explain to people why we are borrowing money.
Why are we borrowing it?
And I had draw a reference to an article in paper that talked about the central bank governor saying that we would possibly have to print money. And you said that a friend of yours would be beach chair, so I just want to carry back to that discussion to start my discussion. So
from there.
So we pick up from where we left off.
Fair enough.
And my reasoning for that is to look at the issue of the bonds that are being offered to the public.
Not the public yet.
And to recognize that, not to the public yet, to the civil servant.
Correct.
And to recognize that this issue of bonds to civil servants is not new. The only, I think, if to be honest to the union leaders, I think the one at the BW and UPW, yeah, and you can include BUT, was not around then at the leadership level. But BSU leaders certainly was involved in it. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't.
No, I think she was.
Right.
Yeah.
So to the other union leaders, it would be new. But the bond offer or the discussion around cutting a civil servant salary and offering bonds is not new. The other issue is savings bonds is not new. We were issued savings bonds before, and the public took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And Minister Strong, speaking at the 60th conference of the Stock Exchange on September 21st, 2018, had this to say about the bonds. He said that and I'm just picking parts about the speeches there on the Central Bank website or JSA's website. Anybody wishes to go and read it can do so. He said at the time, right, he was saying at the time that the government had reduced the interest rates, allowed the commercial banks basically to introduce the interest rates, and then simultaneously launched this product, which he said was simply too good to pass up because it was getting 5.5%. My argument now, here comes my argument. If at that time, because he went on further to say that government was printing money, he said that $50 million per month were being to finance government expenditure. You hear the same thing sounding like the same way because government is saying they're going to offer these bonds and they can use the money to do various expenditure things in government, fix schools, do roads. It's sounding the same way?
Well, that's what you usually use the money to do.
Right. So the, disc- discussion, my argument from the last bank holidays brought to you is the same. The discussion is the same thing continuously. If we are saying that we want to start, because the other argument is the government talking about starting a bond market, talking about getting people interested
in a secondary bond market.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if we are honest with persons, the 5.5% that was offered in the last administration, under the last central bank governor, people behave as though there was something dishonest, because he went on to say that the people, let me find it, expenditure, Reverend Sertley, in my mind, it represents a breach of trust because people weren't told that the government was printing money. In any other jurisdiction, such a deliberate lack of financial disclosure would lead to someone heading off to a correctional facility dressed in orange. So here is somebody, Captain Franklin, is arguing that it's illegal to pay people in bonds. Nobody haven't told us how they're going to correct that if they're going to go to Parliament, but it seems to be accepted that it's illegal to do it. But, you know, we're running off on all these tangents. Let us be honest with the public. This is the situation. This is what we want to do. This is how we can set up the market. This is how we can trade in bonds. This is the legality of the bonds. And here's where the big picture comes. If you want people to interest in bonds, there's an upside and a downside. Let us agree that, let us call Barbados Sugar Industry Limited. Forget Barbados as a country. Let me look at it as a company. Mm. If this was a company, and knowing what you know, because you're a banker, you're a former banker, knowing what you know about the state of the company, would you invest in these bonds?
I would if I believe that the prospects for the country is good.
Right.
Because that's how you invest. You invest on
right.
future, what you feel the future holds,
right.
as opposed to what the present is.
So in order for persons to be confident in the bonds, mm-hmm. don't you think the onus is to show people the upside and the downside so people can make an informed decision? Because the Minister Strong is accusing the last administration of not showing people that they were taking a risk and that the government was financing expenditure from printing the money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But here is the same thing is reoccurring, because there are so much similarities in
no,
this
sir.
Situation.
You see, this is, and this is the distinction that the ministers, the current government is making. The distinction the current government is making is that because of the IMF program that they've entered into, the wide-scale printing of money to pay salaries will cease. So there will be no wide-scale printing of money to finance salaries,
wide-scale.
I'm choosing my words very carefully, sir.
But there will be printing of money.
There is always printing of money, sir. The question is, what do you print it to do, and how do you control it? The government has something with central bank, and this goes back over more than one administration, called a facility. That's what they call it, right?
Right, correct.
It's supposed to be an overdraft facility. They got all sorts of names for it. A facility. What happens is that if government puts bonds on the market and nobody buys it, the central bank picks up what is not bought. It's called financing government, buying government paper. It's called printing money. That's why I know it does. Right?
Good.
Okay.
So the similarities in what I discussed with you earlier coming back.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on. Which is why in the discussion that I had with the first caller that I talked about 1,000 employees working for $1,000, I did not discuss the back end. Because the back end is where the problems will begin if it's not managed properly.
Correct.
If you have a situation where, using my scenario, 250, 750 of your workers take their full pay and you put their bonds aside, if the NIS, the GIS, the CBC, the ABC, any government agency, including the central bank, buys them, you have not solved the problem. You've moved money from your left pocket to your right pocket. It has not solved the problem. If, however, some other entity, whether it's a bank, credit union, Brer Rabbit, Brer Sheep, Brer Pig, Brer Goat, Brer Cow, buy it with their money, then you have money to pay your workers. There's a difference, right? Our problem was and remains, government has a wages bill that it cannot pay from the money it receives for whatever service it provides. And therefore, the last administration was printing $50 million to pay government workers. It was not sustainable. It ran us into all sorts of difficulties. If government finds itself, the current administration goes back doing the same thing, we'd be in the same position or even deeper than we were before, which is why I keep saying, said it with the last administration, saying it with this administration. We have to earn our way in the world. We got to find out what we could sell that people can buy.
Correct.
So full stop, easy. Correct. Difficult to do, but easy to say.
But the reality is that the only way we're going to get to that stage where people understand that there's not sleight of hand and tricks is for people to start leveling with people up front and look at what's good in the last government and bring it to this government and what's good in this government and let we go forward.
Sir, I can't disagree with you, but here is the problem we face.
We create a situation
where we mistrust everybody.
Where there's so much distrust between governments. Because when the last administration tried to do something good, it was bad. No, this administration trying to do something good is bad. And we are spinning pot and mud because people that are not involved at the time or when these things just refuse to speak.
So it's not that refuse to speak. No, it's not that refuse to speak, you know. It's that they're not heard. So listen, one of the challenges, and you hit the nail on the head. I agree with you. This is what I've been saying all along, that we have this belief that there's this thing called government, there's a tree, and we shake it and money fall out of it. Because remember when NSRL was introduced?
Yeah, correct.
Right. You remember the furor over NSRL being introduced? Yeah. You know what the furor was? That the business people in Barbados, knowing that they had to pay NSRL up front, jacked up their prices before the goods came off the docks so they could have money to pay the NSRL. So prices went up. People called and complained that prices were being raised on, and think the day after the minister said NSRL, prices went up because the businessmen knew they had to pay it up front. The government changed, NSRL was removed. Hold on. The government changed, NSRL was removed. Prices did not come down. People are now saying, put back the NSRL, they're working, businessmen had to pay. It could be the same people who were crying out before, it's a different set of people.
Yeah. you even makes the matter even gets worse. Look at what the governor chief, not the chief economic advisor, the government economic advisor on loan from the IMF is saying. He's saying whether the civil servants accept the bond or not, government will meet their objective. Mm-hmm. What that says to you?
So that says exactly what I just told you with the scenario that I painted with the 1,000 by 1,000. If everybody walked up to me and said, I don't want my bond, I want my $1,000 in cash, I will pay them $1 million. But I will have the same amount sitting in bonds in my bottom drawer to sell to somebody else to cover that $1 million I've just paid. Because what I've done is I've created an instrument that I could make money off of while still paying my people whatever they want to be paid. So you've achieved the objective, which is creating an instrument that's going to give you money from another source. That's what it is.
Right. So if that is the case, why are we being put through all this stress and trauma?
Who's being put through this stress and trauma? So you stressed?
No.
Well, good. So people know the public. And so because the public is getting involved in this on two levels. One, a political level. And two, a level that says, I don't know what's happening. And the civil servants are being held to ransom. And all sorts of other things with people who have no connection to the civil service at all, the public service at all. They don't. And then other people are asking, so why not pensioners? Why not pay people bonds? So one of the things you have to do.
Because if we had done it the way where we said, listen, we understand that this bond is illegal to issue to members like that. We're going to correct the law. This is why we're doing it, because we need to reduce the wage bill.
So who says it's illegal?
Reducing the wage bill can give us that physical space that we need to do these other projects that will help employ other people. We need to do this in a discussion fashion that employ brings people along and not chase people from us. And the way it had been put out there from the beginning for savings, the word, the terminology being used.
I objected to that. I said so from the beginning that the term was wrong. Force right, is not something that works anywhere.
Even a good idea has been stripped apart because of the perceived implementation process, because it hasn't been implemented yet, so that's a perceived. But if we had sat, because Casual Fire has been pointing out that this thing is illegal. We got the law there that says it. You want to tell me before we bring this to the public, we can sit down and look at this so that we don't get this constant...
Sir, I will ask you again. I will ask you again. Who says it's illegal?
Let me say this, in its present form. If you don't sign a form, if you don't agree to have your salary issued to you in bonds, as far as my knowledge state me, it's illegal.
Sir, and this is the point. There is something called free choice.
Right.
If I decided, based with two situations in front of me, I will take a portion of my salary in cash. That's an agreement between me and my employer as per a contract. It don't bind you to anything. It don't bind anybody else to anything. It is a discussion between me and my employer. What makes it illegal?
Yeah, once you agree, it's
thank you very much. And sir, that's why I asked you twice, why you're saying it's illegal? Because if nobody takes up the offer, then there is no illegality.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that a country coming out of this COVID situation, because we didn't get out yet, but getting a little ease from this COVID situation, anything moving forward, you want to move as a group and a collective, you want to move with smoothness, not with all this. I mean, people were so stressed being on lockdown, and to come now as a civil servant and hear this bond thing trying you, that put somebody in the grave. And if we want the country to settle down and move forward, productive, we got to have, let me be frank, the government got to sit down and look at what a plan to implement, how to implement it before they trust it from the public and keep this constant upheaval in the country or anything. This is paramount to creating anarchy about the place.
I don't agree with you with that, sir. I really don't.
Let me remove the word anarchy. Unnecessary confusion that could have been handled different. Because we had the bond issue, we had the issue of offering bonds before to the trade union movement. We had the issue of saving bonds in the public before. So there's not a whole lot of new things about this.
That's why they have discussions going on yesterday and today, and answering questions, and hopefully people will be satisfied with the answers they get. And then we'll be in a position to make a determination whether they want to participate or whether they don't want to participate. As with everything else, sometimes it's who delivers the message and how the message is delivered that the message is received. Can't put it any other way, sir. Thanks for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I'm not too bad. Your song upbeat. Look, I cannot speak about the boss program in any great depth, and I take my position or my lead from those who know better than me. All right. Listening to Casual Franklin, a man who I have a lot of time for, you know. I like Casual Franklin, and I dare say that Casual is my friend too. So that made me like him twice. But there's a thing. I prepared to listen to the discussion, and I also, my new kid on the block that I like just as much as Casual, by listening to how the simple way he explained this boss program and how he put it over to me and the country. I like his style. That is the youngster by the name of Dr. Kevin Greenidge. I also prepared to follow him too. Right? So I got myself in a love affair there with two people that I like very much. You with me? But if what Dr. Kevin Greenidge is saying to me, right? And he is the expert on financial matters and all that, and advising this government, I would tend to lean on the side of Dr. Greenidge, not to take away anything from my friend Caswell. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Good. Now, I want to speak to Dennis, the hotelier, not the moderator, not the man that spin tunes and got people can't left home on a Sunday. I want to speak.
That's it, Dennis. I like it. I know why y'all don't like it.
I want to speak to Dennis, the DJ. All right?
All right, sir.
Look, yesterday I listened to this program. I don't know, and I was in a position to listen in and out. I don't think that I hear half an hour of the whole program put together with bits and pieces I listened to. But one person that I heard that I was kind of disappointed in, and it is a person that I like to listen to too, a man that come over as a hotelier, right? He speak to you quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And he is saying, hey, a family of four or five could come down here with the maid, right? And they could go in a villa, which the hotel plan provide as well. And that family could isolate themselves or quarantine themselves for 14 days. And they could still get the chef or the butler or whatever to go and do the shopping or whatnot. And they don't have to come back outside the gate.
Mm-hmm.
But question, Dennis, who can leave halfway across the world to come to paradise? And they're talking about paradise, the country, by the other, right? To shut away or lock off the cells for 14 days in this thing.
It depends. Trust me, right? There are people who I've worked with Clyde at two different hotels, and I've made it plain, I think, to just about everyone that I have great respect for Clyde. Let me say why I understand what he's saying, right? Experience has shown that there are people who come to Barbados because they are not looked upon as being Elton John and paparazzi and, you know, people jumping up and down and blocking them in the road. Simon Cowell comes to Barbados all the time, and he's a fellow on the beach, right? We know who he is. He's a fellow on the beach. There are people who come to Barbados who have homes in the various enclaves who are quite happy to sit there, lap their foot, look at the pool, look at the grass grow, the females looking at the gardeners flexing the muscles while they're cleaning, and do absolutely nothing for a period of time.
And the hotelier's looking at the females.
Well, there you go.
Of course.
The maid will get looked at. That's why there's a gardener and a maid.
The hotelier's looking at the guests.
And they would send, there are people who pay a butler and a bartender to live on property for 6 months when they're not in Barbados, to be there when they come in at midnight and they want a banana daiquiri.
I got two friends do that.
Good. So here's the thing. These people come, they may want to go out, but they will say, you know what? I'm here for 6 months. I could take 2 weeks of getting accustomed to the sunshine, putting on a little tan, eating some good food and relaxing myself. And then after that, I can go out and start driving more Barbados and, you know, going online.
You're missing something though, Dennis.
Which is?
You're missing something.
Which is?
You're looking at the long-term fella, right? You're looking at the 6 months fella.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got people that come for 18 days or 21.
I know. You see, them is not the people you were talking about.
Good. Well, fine. But
that's not the people you were talking about.
How much are those 6 months people to have? And I was
You will be surprised. Sir, you will be surprised.
I was there to see you. I got a few friends, mm-hmm. and friends, I must say friends, who is in the landscaping business,
right.
who take care of these people. I got a few house people who take care of these villas and these properties that sprinkle across the hotel properties,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
or the tourist industry properties. That also live abroad, and these people come here for, you know, to enjoy the sunshine. But the little part that you're missing, Dennis, is when a fella, it's a fella, but it's when a family of five come down here,
mm-hmm.
right? Most likely, you come in with either teenagers or young children.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know how restless children get now.
So I take your point on that.
Especially when they're in the fire land.
I take your point, sir, because that's a point. If they got children, especially teenage children, they want to go and party. They're gonna want to go out.
I get you.
Sir, don't
get me wrong. Dennis, please don't get me wrong.
No, I don't get you wrong.
Fella, you know.
Sir, I don't get you wrong, which is why I'm following your conversation.
Right. So, I, and especially at this time, right, especially at this time, where the whole world is faced with this
pandemic,
faceless monster, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, I wouldn't like, I hope that I'm wrong. I just hope that I'm wrong. I don't see that any part of these tourist destinations, especially here in the Caribbean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would even put in Hawaii in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that we getting off the mark within a year.
I don't see it either, right? But it depends on what you call off the mark. I do not believe that mass-based tourism, where you have a million visitors, both cruise and long stay, drifting in and out, people coming and spending 4 days and 5 days and a weekend. I don't think that happening in a hurry.
That happening to things.
18 months. That, and I'm being real conservative, because with the upheaval in the U.S. And other demonstrations taking place across the world, mass gatherings, people getting tear gassed and rubber bullets and things. Who knows what else will pop up in this mayhem, okay?
You want to elaborate a little more upon that, that thing that going on that
no.
happening now across the United States.
No.
You want to elaborate a little bit on it?
No, sir. You ever get tear gassed? That's all I
don't even know what tear gas.
Good. So let me tell you what not to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go and buy muriatic acid, throw it down the sink, put Clorox after it and stamp over it and breathe it. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
Don't do that, okay? So I ain't want to elaborate on what's going on in the U.S. I don't. I really do not.
You fear that have complications for Barbados?
So it will have complications for the entire world, because the challenges being faced by the people in the United States because of cable television is being beamed across the world, and people are reacting to it across the world. It will mean, therefore, that people will, in addition to being worried about their health, will now be worried about their safety. Then you have the repercussions will come when people start picking up AR-16 rifles and M16 rifles and other kind of rifles and saying, I can guard my property. And when you have a president that says when the shooting starts, you're going back to 1967 with Martin Luther King, and you're going back to Burn Baby Burn with Stokely Carmichael and them fellas. And when you go back to 1967, where you didn't have social media, where you didn't have cable television, so you could suppress things, when you start Bull Connor, who brought Alsatian dogs and water hoses to stop people from registering to vote, you're going back to a period where people are going to start wanting to sabotage flights, where people will start getting real antsy about visiting anywhere because they fear repercussions from black people against white people.
Dennis?
Yes,
sir? I could see the tower, right? And they got the all clear to land. So let me land this way.
Okay, sir.
You just say something about mainstream media, cable TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could agree. Well, you didn't see it, but this is my conclusion. I'd be blaming it on DVDs. But you see, cable TV, that sensationalized news and all that thing and whatever happened, I think that is the number one enemy of the world and what is to come thereafter. I am so serious. I get so fed up and turned off looking at cable TV these days because what you're getting a heavy diet of news that often go in the wrong direction. And they strive on it, they bring all kind of experts to talk, and at the end of the day, people on the streets losing their lives and getting mean and all the rest of it, according to you.
Sir, when I said so the other day, I get told I don't like Americans and, you know, that I'm anti-American number two.
And that as a radio...
As a host of a radio program, as do the same thing as read the news and then as comment on it. I laughed because here's the thing. I read the news. But in the middle of the news, I don't say, you know, two men were shot in St. Philip today. What is happening in Barbados? You know, they're just shooting people just so. That's what commenting on the news while you're reading the news means. But if the news story is about two people shot in St. Philip, and when it comes back to me hosting the calling program, I say, we have a problem with violence in Barbados. That's a complete different thing from me making that comment in the middle of the news, which is what's happening with cable news. And the other thing is this. The reason why I prefer to read is this. If I'm reading a story that says, Bishop Michel Braffitt said today so and so and so and so, I am reading it. I have no idea whether Bishop Michel Braffitt is black, blue, green, Indian, Chinese, or otherwise. When I hear a comment and I look up and see the person on the screen, and the person on the screen ain't really matching what I hear, I have all kind of conflicts going on. And that's what's firing a lot of the things that go on when people look at television. They decide that person on the screen, they got fake hair, they got this, they got eyelashes, I ain't like, their face paint up, they the wrong color, and all sorts of foolishness. That got nothing to do. Well, sometimes it got a lot to do with the comment they make too, but anyhow. Thanks for landing the plane. This is Down to Brass Tacks.